Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things movie and nostalgia podcasts, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Welcome to Wistful Thinking, the podcast where we revisit pop culture from our childhood to see if it's as good all grown up. I'm Jordan Poling-Clark, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Carrigale O'Regan.
Hello.
And today we have no guest, and we're revisiting pop culture that's not from our childhood. This is our 2017 year in review episode. Kind of a little bit late. We know it's 2018 already, but we wanted to do it, and this is where it fits. So
well,
here we go.
I would posit that being that this is a show that deals primarily in nostalgia, it's more appropriate that our year in review episode be into the new year, looking back at the old year.
Yeah, I mean, at least we are looking back at something. We're not still in it. You're right.
I know I'm right.
So I think Kara and I both... No, I know that we both made lists, but I think we made them really differently. Kara, tell me about your lists of things from last year.
Well, so I have this habit of watching really ridiculous amounts of television, and then once I'm done with it, it just kind of gets immediately wiped from my brain as if I never saw it at all. So, like, I was thinking back, and I'm like, I definitely watched a lot of things this year, and then I couldn't really think of anything, so I had to, like, go back and look at my, you know, like, watch history on Netflix and stuff. And what I realized, I drew some conclusions here, pretty much didn't watch a single movie all year, except for the Lady Gaga documentary, which was amazing, and you should see it.
Oh, I also watched that.
Yeah. It was, like, all TV, and the vast majority of it was TV that centers a strong female lead. So that was a theme that emerged. And then I did make a list. I made a list of 5 things, and then I added a bunch more as honorable mentions.
Yeah, okay. We talked about this a little bit before we started recording, and it sounds like you said you made 3 lists.
I also made 3 lists because I...
with 5 things each, which means you have 15 things.
It's actually way more than 15 things.
Oh, no!
So we don't have to get to all of them. The 3 lists were... 5 like TV shows that I really enjoyed, 5 books that I really enjoyed, and 5 experiences that I really enjoyed. Because I was originally just going to do like 5 things that I watched this year, and then that spiraled out. So, yeah, we may or may not get to everything, but 2017 was full of all sorts of interesting stuff. How about you, Jordan?
I made a much vaguer list. I actually tried to stick to 5 things. So there are 5 things on my list. However, there is an additional like honorable mentions category. And like weirdly enough, I thought about this as like 5 things that are related to like media or pop culture from last year, but they're not necessarily like individual things.
Okay.
They're not individual shows, they're not individual books, except one of them. Because I also, like, oddly enough, like, last year was a year where I consumed a lot less than I usually would have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a year of change for me, which is weird because it's also the year that we started this podcast. So that's been interesting, as I've, like, cared a little bit less about seeing everything that's supposed to be good or reading everything that's supposed to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to also think about media more because we're doing this.
Yeah, that is interesting. I think I definitely watched... I mean, I said that I didn't watch any movies except for the Lady Gaga documentary, and that's actually, it turns out, a lie now that I was just listening to you talk because we watched a bunch of movies for this podcast.
Oh, right. I mean, but I see why you wouldn't
right.
count
It doesn't
those.
Necessarily count.
You didn't, like, choose to watch them.
Right.
Because you
more
thought
or
they
less.
Were good. Except you actually did choose to watch some of them because you thought they were good. For example, Clueless.
For example, Clueless, exactly. Little Women. The Net, starring our dearly beloved Sandra Bullock. But I think that's why I, like, didn't watch any other movies, was because I was, like, regularly watching movies for this. And so when I, like, wasn't doing that, I was just kind of elbow deep in various TV programs. And I think we talked about, not on the podcast, we talked about previously, just I am more oriented towards television because I just find it a much more satisfying medium. Like, you don't have to try and tell your story in 90 minutes or less, or 3 hours, which, don't get me started about long movies. I hate them so much. But I will spend all 6 seasons and 2 TV movies worth of Dr. Quinn's Medicine Woman on my couch for weeks on end. I can't explain it. I just find it more satisfying because you get, like, longer character arcs. You get variable stories.
It's both longer and shorter,
right?
Because you have to commit, like, an hour max at a time,
right?
And then it just goes on forever.
Mm-hmm. So I've been watching a lot of Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. It's really good, or at least the first 2 seasons were. The jury is out on subsequent seasons.
Yeah, I have very vague memories of watching that at my grandmother's house.
Well, we should definitely do a wishful thinking episode about it sometime. Because it's got all of the things that we talk about all of the time. And it's great. And I'm in love with Jane Seymour. Like, head over heels in love with Jane Seymour. Somebody get that woman an EGOT. She is amazing. But anyway, that's 1993. Let's bring it back around to 2017. Where should we start?
Well, I think you should pick something from one of your lists first, because you have more things than I do.
Okay. That is true. Yes. I think the thing that I enjoyed on TV, like, more than anything else this year, was GLOW, The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Netflix original series, kind of developed by, written by, directed by, starring women, about women using their bodies in ways that you never get to see women use their bodies.
And they're not all skinny.
And they're not all skinny.
And they're not all white.
And they're not all, like, you know, I mean, sure, Alison Brie is gorgeous and she's supposed to be, like, one of the ugly ones, but... they're not all...
They all look different, very, very different from each other. Some of them look very different than women you would traditionally see on a screen. It's super cool.
Yeah, and it just brought me so much joy.
And they're, like, so badass, and the outfits are so good. Yeah. I can't get over that. That was, like, the first thing that I was like, oh, I need that in my life.
Yeah, I mean, they get you with the flashy stuff, and then you actually watch it and pay attention to it and realize, like, how fantastically it's written, and, like, the acting is amazing. They're all so good.
I only watched half of it, but so it kept being good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was sad when I, like, finished it in probably 24 to 48 hours. I don't think that it took me very long to get through all of it. I just, like, wanted to keep watching it forever. And I do not care about wrestling at all. Like, have never, do not. So I was like, I don't know. We'll see. But
we are very different in that way.
Oh, yeah?
I really like wrestling a lot.
Interesting.
I won't, like, follow it, you know, regularly. But, like, I'll turn it on and I'll watch it. Because, like, it's incredible. The WWE is incredible. Like, the amount of shows that they are able to put on.
That's true.
And, like, the amount, just, like, the amount of work that goes into it. They have to write new things for every week. They travel constantly. It's amazing to me that exists. There's nothing else like it. But on top of that, I'm an athlete, and it's to me, like, so cool to turn it on and see. It's not that close to circus. It's not that close to what I do.
No, I think, like, there's definitely a lineage there. Yeah.
They share something. It's the closest thing that I can watch to circus on television. Mm. And it has a dumb plot. And that's kind of fun sometimes. Yeah. It's just like...
Oh, no, I get why people like wrestling. It's just not for me. But GLOW definitely
is. Yeah, no, it's definitely not for, like, most people. I don't... yeah. But that's one of the things that was really cool about GLOW is it's just, it's also women using their bodies.
Yeah.
For something that's not sex.
Yeah. And just, like, being in their bodies on screen. You know, their bodies aren't props. Their bodies are, like, actual... You know, so it's so cliche. You hear this in dance classes around the world, but your body is your instrument. And, like, that's so true. Like, it just is so visceral on that show. And it just was... Not just women being fully in their bodies, but, like, relationally, women being fully in their bodies with other women's bodies.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
No, it does.
Yeah.
So GLOW is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shockingly, real thing I have... that happened in the 80s. There was a women's wrestling league called GLOW.
Yeah.
Or a show called GLOW. And did you watch them? They're on YouTube.
No, and I somehow managed to not see the documentary about it that's on Netflix.
I haven't seen the documentary.
Yeah, I've been meaning to, because if I'm going to watch a movie, it'll usually be a documentary before it will be, like, a regular feature narrative film. But I just, for some reason, I guess I've just been busy watching other things. I don't know. I think I also have been not as excited to watch that because, like, I know it's kind of going to be really upsetting and disappointing, like, because...
Well, that's exactly what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of how I felt watching the real show.
Okay.
It's like, because I also looked up some of the women, and, like, mm-hmm. definitely a lot of them, not a lot of them, but at least some of them were, like, some kind of, like, pornographic or, like, you know, nude model type, you know, that was their career, kind of, and this was, like, a thing that they started doing, and, like, and it's super cool that it happened, it's super cool that they did it, and
but
we obviously have, like, some kind of admiration for it,
yeah,
but that kind of thing can't last, so then what happened to them after that?
Yeah.
And I don't like that part of it.
And I don't...
Because I feel worried about them.
Right. And it's not the case on the Netflix original series. And it wasn't the case in real life that, like, women were in charge of the actual GLOW operation. And so it seems like it was actually probably pretty exploitative and, like...
Yeah.
Kind of a... And, you know, a lot of wrestling... is, to my understanding, like, the non, like, you know, it's so, like, with any sports, the people who actually, like, reach the very tippy top are such a small percentage of the people who are actually doing it, and, like, the people who are actually doing it are being subjected to less glamour.
Yeah. So I'm gonna do the first thing from my list, which is the Eclipse.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is not so much a pop culture moment, except it was, because
everyone was
talking about it.
Yeah, and it was, like, everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big shared experience that mm-hmm. everybody had last year.
Yeah.
And I went down south to see it. Like, I actually went to where the total eclipse happened,
mm-hmm.
and I watched the eclipse with... three of my friends who I was so, so, so happy to be spending time with. And we watched it from a giant inflatable duck in the middle of a big lake.
That's amazing.
And it really was, and it was just magical. We planned absolutely nothing for the trip, except for, like, we kind of knew where we were going to stay because we kind of knew, like, where we knew people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. We just, like, got in the car, drove overnight to get there and, like, drove around for 4 days and, like, saw this magical thing. And, like, it like, maybe, like, changed my life a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, to see something like that and to have... I had a very carefree, like, 4 days during that trip. And that's, like, very, very rare for me.
Yeah.
And something about, like, the magic of the earth... doing, or it wasn't the earth, it was the moon and the sun, but like just something about the
the earth gets in the way. That's how an eclipse happens.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Right,
like so the earth is involved.
I don't, look, I don't know about science that much, so like something about seeing that and experiencing nature doing something really crazy.
Yeah.
Was like a little bit life changing. Yeah. I mean, maybe I only think that because it was only like a few months ago still, but I never saw anything like that before, and it was really cool.
Yeah. Well, I think spending any sort of time in nature is so important and like can be really healing, you know, even if you can't point to it and say like this is why it was life changing or like this is why it was so important or whatever. Like if there's not like a specific thing that you can articulate, it can be really special. And especially if you're sharing that with other people and actually like having that sort of like carefree, somewhat unplugged experience of the world and getting to like share it with other people, and not only like with the people that you were with, but like on a global? Did the eclipse happen all around the world? I don't think so, right? Maybe
no.
Just the United States? I don't know. Sharing it with, like, a large swath of at least the United States, if not more than that.
Yeah, a lot of people experienced at least part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really cool. And, like, I was not in the path of totality, but it was still really cool to see and to, like, be, like, outside kind of like looking up at the sky when like millions of other people were also looking at the same thing. Like we don't even
like how often does that happen? How often are we all do we all just agree? Let's all go outside for a second together, all of us.
Yeah, like, that didn't even happen when there were only 3 channels on TV. And
right?
Now there's like so many
it's
channels.
Really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was really amazing and moving and like an interesting experience. It made me want to seek out the path of totality next time. I think I'm going to try and do that. And NPR Science Friday did like a really great segment on it after the fact because they had their correspondents like all across the country record themselves like observing the eclipse, and very often those people were in groups of people, so you like heard the people around them like as it happens, and so they cut it together in this really amazing kind of sonic montage of like the eclipse moving across the country.
Yeah, that's really
and
neat.
It made me cry in my car.
I have we actually met somebody. I was with circus friends, and we met somebody who is related to the circus world. We had people in common, just like totally randomly at this place that we went to out in the middle of nowhere. And she watched it from the shore, so she took a time-lapse video, and you can see us out there on our duck.
Oh, cool.
And so you can see it get dark, and you can see it get light again. It's really, really neat.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my number one thing from last year. When I think about 2017 in like 20 years, I think that's probably what I'll think of.
Oh, God bless you. There's so many other horrendous things that I will think of before the eclipse.
Unless... I know. Well, that actually leads me into, like, kind of one of my other ones, but I don't want to skip. We should go back to you.
Okay. Well, we may have a moment of synchronicity here, but probably not. But one of my favorite experiences from 2017 was attending the Women's March in New York City. Was that what you were going to say next?
No, but I have a similar... See, I knew our lists would overlap.
Yeah, so. Of course. You know, I think, like, the Women's March as an entity, like a political entity aside, first of all, New York City showed the fuck up that day. It was, I've never seen anything like it. I've never been, like, you know, Grand Central Station is always very busy. Midtown Manhattan, always very busy. But, like, I just have never seen anything like that. Like, there were 600,000 people, I think, was, like, the estimation of how many showed up for New York City. Like, in Donald Trump's hometown, like, it just, it was... well, it was kind of a nightmare, but it was also very magical.
Tell the nightmare part first, then get to the good stuff.
Well, I think, you know, the how many people actually showed up was, like, several times the amount that they were expecting. Mm-hmm. So as far as, like, crowd control measures and, like, things like that, it was not great because you could kind of barely move at some points. And I just came into Grand Central Station and just kind of walked outside, and it was, like, going on. But it had started over by the UN, and like, people had a really hard time getting there because there was just so many people, which is just a nightmare on its own. But at the same time, like, just that there were so many people who were motivated to, like, get out there and be like, this is not okay, you know? That was really... On a, like, the day after the inauguration, was it? Or the day before? I don't remember. But, you know, this, like, heavy, heavy darkness that I had been carrying with me since the election, like, I got this, like, brief respite of, like, oh my God, thank God I'm not the only person who feels this way, first of all. And second of all, to, like, see that many people in one place, kind of all... just saying, like, no, this is not okay. That was really, really cool. What else was I gonna say about it? But to, like, because I wasn't really, I was using my phone to take pictures, but I wasn't necessarily, you know, on my phone because I was just kind of like in the, yeah, I was actually out in the world for once, you know, participating in life. And so when I got on the train to go home, I was sitting there and I, like, pulled up Facebook or Twitter, you know, some social network on my phone. And it was like, oh my God, not just did New York City show the fuck up today, like, the entire world did. There were people
everybody,
in Antarctica.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
bonkers. I didn't go to one. I just sat home and, like, watched them on the news all day, mm-hmm. and it was bonkers.
I couldn't see press coverage of it for several weeks afterwards without crying, because, as we've established on this show, okay, I cry a lot, but, like, it just was so moving to me that so many people got up off their asses and actually showed up, you know, and, like, even if nothing actionable necessarily came from that, I think it was a really strong message. I don't know. Even if it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, it felt like it mattered that day, and it, like, gave me a brief respite from, you know, everything else. But the lady that sat next to me on the train ride home, she saw me, like, scrolling through my phone and looking at pictures from other cities, and she said that she had no intention of going, and she was home, and she turned on the TV and saw what was happening. I was like, fuck it. And she got on the train, and she came, and she marched. And I was just like, oh my God, that's amazing. So it just was, like, a really special day.
Are they doing another one this year?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it won't have the, or will it, the turnout that last year's did.
I mean, things are still crazy. Like, I know. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, and everything that's, like, kind of happened since over the course of the year with regard to women's issues, I think it set, like, a really strong, you know, first step of saying, like, no. No, man. this ain't cool. Not anymore. Not on my watch. But, yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully they won't shut off all our credit cards and revoke all of our rights tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Handmaid's Tale was good, too, though.
Oh, that's not on my list. That should go in my honorable mention category. Interesting.
That actually did make my list, because as far as, like, things that made me feel things this year... As far as, like, things that I watched, I don't think there's anything else that I watched that made me have as many feelings as that show did.
It was so relevant this year. So relevant. I did just, like, cry for half of those episodes.
Yeah.
That's a good segue into, actually, I see now that I can lump two of mine together, so I'm going to.
Okay.
The first one is, I wrote, this is a terrible list, I'm sorry, but it says ladies / I can't watch white dudes anymore. Which is just like a thing that happened to me this year. Like, I feel like before this year I had been kind of tired of a lot of you know, men or whatever that we see over and over again, or types of men, types of movies, types of shows, because it's boring. It's like, this is like, why? But like, I actually, it's at the point now where, like, after all the sexual harassment stuff, after all the talk about it this year, I actually, like, can't watch that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Like, if it only has white men in it, or if it has, like, one token girl, like, I actually just don't care, for the most part. I'm sure there are exceptions.
Yeah.
You should never make blanket statements on podcasts, but...
What do you mean? That's what they're for.
But, like, yeah, I just actually don't care anymore. And it's part of the reason why I didn't watch as many things this year. Because when you can't take that anymore, there's, like, not a lot of other choices.
Well, that was kind of some of the work that I did this year, like, for myself, is, like, seeking out those other things that aren't just the same five Ryans over and over again. And, like...
Ryans, I thought they were Chris's. I thought it's all the Chris's.
No, there's Chris's and there's Ryan's.
I want to ask you who the Ryans are, and I actually don't...
I wouldn't be able to tell you. I just know that there's a lot of them.
If Joey were here, he could tell us all of them.
He could. But I had, like, some mixed success with that as far as, like, seeking out things that center... other narratives or other characters, and you're right, it's hard to find stuff. And the thing that just kind of kept washing over me again and again when I would find something and watch it was either like, this isn't what they said it was gonna be, which I'll get to that in a second, and also like just how deeply sad like, for pretty much all of history, the lives of women have been. And, you know, people in general. Like we talked about in our Little Women episode, living in the past was terrible.
Not great.
It was just not great for anyone, but, like, especially not for women. Like, up until at least 1975, you know? And even still, as we've learned this past year, it's still not great. But, just how tied to the lives of men women are, and the fates, how their fates are tied, it's just has been something that washes over me again and again, how deeply tragic that is and has been for so many billions of women, you know, throughout history. But one of the things, I'm not gonna go too negative, but I am gonna bring this up because it did make me feel things. It made me feel angry. It made me feel cheated, which is the Netflix series, what was it called, Godless, which
is that? It's the one that was like
they
was
bill like
marketed
it
as,
like, as
an all women's Western or something.
Set in a town without men, which, like, you show me a picture of a Dusty Michelle Dockery and you tell me it's a Western set in a town without men, like, I am here for it, 100%. Watch the entire thing in 48 hours because I thought maybe it'll get better. Maybe all the women will finally show up. I was so mad because it felt like such a bait and switch. Not only is there a episode one rape scene, like an unnecessary episode one rape scene, there are like multiple rape scenes throughout the series, one of which is extremely violent and like really deeply, deeply upsetting. So, like, just that alone, if you go into a show thinking like, ooh, this is gonna be good for the ladies, and then instead you are faced with that, especially if you're a victim or a survivor of, you know, sexual assault and sexual trauma, like, not fucking cool, guys. But not just that, like, on just simply on a casting basis, like, for the actors that they cast, there must be like a 4-to-1 ratio of men to women, because it turns out it's not actually set in the town without men. It's about a couple guys who are all over the place, and they happen to cross paths in this so-called town without men, which has men in it. It totally has men in it. There's, like, at least 5 men in this town, which, you know, for a town of, like, 40 people is, like, still a lot. Okay, maybe not a lot of men. Most of the men died in a mining disaster, and that's why this alleged town without men exists. But most of the series does not take place there. The women's stories that do are very interesting, and I just want to talk to the creator and be like, did you know that you can make a Western and, like, not have it be about those same two guys? Did you know that? Did you know that you can make a Western and actually not have a rape scene in it? Did you know that you can make a Western and, like, still explore all the tropes that you want to explore and make a story about women? Like, and it could even be semi-historically accurate if you wanted to. You know, the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, maybe not super historically accurate, but I'm on, like, season 4 of, like, 30 episode seasons, not a single rape scene. I thought there was going to be one, and it turns out they were just violently cutting a woman's hair. I went a little bit overboard with my anger there. But
no, I've not watched the show.
Don't.
But
I mean, it's beautiful. It's great.
When
it's
you started, like, watching it and how angry you were.
Yeah. Because I just kept waiting for it to, you know, not be about the men. And it never really got there. Like, Michelle Dockery is, like, second build. And she's supposed to be one of the main characters. And even her character is almost completely one-dimensional. And she's only there for one of the other male leads to, A, have sex with, and, B, so she can teach him how to read. Like, that's why she's in the story. Otherwise, it, like, she doesn't need to be there at all. And it just was so frustrating. It made me so angry because it was so clear to me, like, fairly early on while I was watching it, that I was like, oh, the people who are responsible for marketing this show saw what was going on as far as women's issues are concerned this year. We're like, hey, lady stuff is getting popular. Why don't we market it in this way? You know, this is a Western set in this town without men and blah, 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 blah. And it just was such a bait and switch, and it just made me so mad. So anyway, if you like Westerns, it is good, but it just is not what it was claiming to be. And that's why I was mad.
I watched a movie. So I do this. I still have cable. Like, I pay for cable because it just came with our internet. Mm-hmm. And so I have HBO. I have, like, 5 HBO channels. And I do this thing sometimes where I'll just turn on one of them. Like, there's there's a particular one that I'll turn on and be like, well, whatever's on this channel is what I'm going to watch. And this year, like a couple months ago, I turned it on and I watched the movie The Women, which is a movie that only has women in it, including extras. There is not a single man in the movie. Wow. And it's the worst piece of shit I've ever seen.
Oh, no. I hate it when that happens.
Did you see it?
No, I don't think so. I'm just Googling it right now.
It stars... There's a lot of people in it. There's, like, beautiful, good actresses in it. And is the dumbest movie in the entire... I mean, the whole thing is about men. There's not a single man in the movie. And the whole movie is still about men. It's like that. So just putting all women in something does not solve the problem.
Yeah. Looks like it was a remake of something that Joan Crawford was in.
Yeah, which I would be curious to see, because I think it's a remake of a movie that was pretty old, from like the 30s, right?
1939,
yep. So I'd be super curious to know what that one is like. I'm sure that one's also all about men. But it was like a fun... Yeah, it is terrible. Anyway, that was a sidetrack, but I also learned this year that... Oh my god,
there's so many people in this.
There's so many people in it. They're all so good. Yeah, it's a terrible movie.
How does this happen?
It was so... And it was written by a woman. It was directed by a woman.
How? I don't understand how this happens. It can't be their fault, right? Or could it be? I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows?
That's upsetting.
Maybe they thought it was going to be different, and then it...
Yeah, and then somebody, some executive, decides it needs to be a different way. Yeah, I'm just looking through the producers and stuff. Like, how does this happen? Why? Who distributed this?
I don't know. The other thing I'm gonna smash in with the women thing, is that I straight up cannot watch or listen to the news anymore.
Oh, me neither.
Like, I think, like, am I like, I was, because I was super into it. Like, I have a journalism degree. I have worked in the news in the past. In the news, I worked in journalism in the past. Like, I am interested in it genuinely, and I just can't do it anymore. It's too upsetting.
It is.
And not like it's not that I like totally shut myself off from it. Like, if I want to know about something, I will seek it out, and I will, I primarily read the news now, and I listen to NPR sometimes. But yeah, that was very different for me this year. I think the last time I like sat down and watched the news might have been the Women's March.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. It's too much, and it's not, it just doesn't feel productive anymore. Not that it's always productive to, you know, there's just so many voices. There's so many voices and so many things.
And like, what even is the news?
I know.
Because, you know, I think we think of like, oh, I'll turn on CNN and watch the news, but you turn on CNN and they have like an 8-person panel, and it's like, this isn't the fucking news.
Yeah, what, or they're talking about something that's stupid because they have to fill time, and I get it. They have to fill time.
But their 8-people panels are just so upsetting. But it, like, and it's not, obviously it's not just them, you know, they're like, it's all a nightmare. But even if you just try to watch the local news, have you tried watching network local news? Like, you know, Eyewitness News at 7 or something?
It's pretty bad.
It's so fucking grim. Oh my god.
It's also like, it's... So I also, like, I've moved in the last 4 years. I used to live in the New York area, where it definitely, like, has a certain style there.
Uh-huh.
Like, the lead with, like, a crime, usually. Big crime.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, something dramatic.
Yeah, there's always somebody getting murdered.
There's always something that seems dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, a big event.
It leads.
So, yeah. But now I live out in the boonies. Like, I live in Vermont now, and it is so different here. It's fascinating. It's like, it's downright boring. Like, so the difference is actually really interesting between the two places.
That is interesting.
My favorite. I was watching the local news on a weekend morning, and they had like a cooking show kind of segment, but it was like, I mean, the quality of it is just so different here, and like, I get it, I totally understand why, and I'm not like making fun of them or anything, but like, it legit like felt like watching like a cooking show that you would have made in like a high school class. Like, it was fun. I liked it. I watched it, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well.
But yeah, that was another one on my list this year, is that like I consumed news very differently.
Than yeah, in the past. I definitely did too. Differently meaning less, for sure. Because I used to listen to WNYC in the car all the time, or like when I was working, and I just can't because it stresses me out too much. And now I find myself listening to like weirder and weirder podcasts instead. I finally started, after being a big Bullseye fan for many years, hosted by Jesse Thorne, mm-hmm. distributed by NPR, from the Maximum Fun Network, I finally got into Jordan Jesse Go, which is, oh my god, my brain, where did you go? It's like, it just disappears. Jesse Thorne's other podcast, which is like kind of an improv podcast, which I don't normally like, but not. He and his friend Jordan have been doing this weird podcast for like 10 years, and I finally started listening to it, and it's very good.
I've never listened to that one.
I used to hate it, but now I really enjoy it because it's kind of absurd.
For some reason, I don't like him, and there's no reason for me not to like him. Like, yeah, it's based on absolutely nothing.
America's radio sweetheart. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like Bullseye. I don't know why.
That's fair. I get
it's not for the reason. It's just, yeah, like, I have a lot of other choices, and I go with a lot of the other choices. I have really liked some of his interviews, though, on that show.
Yeah, so what podcast did you really like this year?
On my list is Off Book.
Do you know Off Book? I haven't even heard of that one. No.
Oh, okay. It is a musical improvised podcast.
God, you have...
Did I break your brain? Are you mad at me?
Oh, my God. I would rather die.
Well, okay. So I really like long-form improv. Like, Comedy Bang Bang is probably my favorite podcast.
Okay. I'm generally into. And I also really hate musicals.
Off Book is two improvisers who are very, very, very good. And they're good singers. They're very musical. And they'll invite one other person on, sometimes more than one other person, to improvise an entire musical with them. And sometimes it falls flat. Sometimes it's not. Some of them aren't good. But when they're good... they're incredible. Like, mm-hmm. definitely episodes of that show have made me laugh probably the hardest that I've laughed all year.
Okay. That's a strong endorsement.
Yeah. And like to the point where like groups of friends and I still sing some of the songs.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Okay. So Buffering the Vampire Slayer, which is a podcast by Kristen Russo, who writes for Autostraddle, and her wife Jenny Owen Youngs, who is a musician, they are watching and recapping every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and it is so good. They do such great job of talking about the episodes, and for each episode at the end, they have like written and sing a song about the episode, and they're all really good.
That is fun.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. I love it a lot. It brightens my week. I think it comes out on Wednesdays. It inspired a full Buffy rewatch, which I finished in about a...
Oh yeah, you did do that this year. I remember that.
That was a wonderful, wonderful thing that I did for myself, and I recommend that everybody do it.
I've never watched Buffy all the way through.
Oh my goodness. Well, my advice is that the first season is generally not good, so you just gotta power through that. And then the last three seasons, I think it's the last three or maybe the last two, Joss Whedon actually handed off show running to Marty Noxon, the co-creator, co-producer, and it gets really dark, and a lot of people don't like those last few seasons, but I think they're actually some of the best that were on the show. I like it a lot.
My podcast that didn't make my list, but it was like my notable mention podcast is Reply All, which it was not a new podcast this year.
No, but they had a great year. Long
time. Yeah, I just, my roommate told me about it this year, and I was like, great, sure. And that's a great, not just a great podcast, but like I have a crush on their friendship also. it's like a lot of what it is. Like
they're so mean to each other.
It's, yeah, but it's with love.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like it's a kind of mean that you only are to somebody if you actually really like and respect them, which that's sounds true. Really weird.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, and they had a really, really good year. I've been listening to Reply All since before it was Reply All, and it was actually called TLDR, and was like a so weird spin-off of On the Media at WNYC.
On the Media is my number one favorite podcast of all time.
Yeah, it's very good, but that's another one I've had to like not listen to as much this year.
Oh, it's the only one I can still listen to that's news related
because I get that.
I know that it's generally not gonna upset me. Mm-hmm. Like I obviously fall on the same side politically as the hosts. I think no one would argue that they're very liberal people.
Yeah. Bob Garfield has lost his shit this year.
I love it when they get angry. I love it when they get angry, which is rare.
Yeah.
But they do sometimes. That's why I like them. Is I think obviously they're really liberal, but they do try to stay very even keeled, even when they're talking to insane people, which they do, which I like. I do think, despite their obvious bias, they genuinely try and usually do a good job of being critical of their own industry,
right? Of the media landscape,
nobody else is doing.
Yeah. Well. Yes. However, I would say that people are doing a very disingenuous impression of what On the Media does, in that, you know, people being like, oh, fake news, and the liberal, or the, you know, the mainstream media, like, if you've been paying any attention at all to the media in the last, I don't know, forever. Like you were a journalism major, like you know the history of newspapers and journalism and like whatever. It's not this like perfect institution, you know, that I think the majority of people who have never had to think about the media and media coverage, you know, they think of, or they have this idea that at some point the media told the truth and, you know, was transparent,
like it was like more pure,
unbiased
in an old
and
time.
More pure. And like none of that is true. It's all bullshit.
No.
You know, and it's just it's always been frustrating for me as somebody who technically doesn't have a media studies degree but was a media studies major for longer than any of my other majors. like has always been frustrating to me because it's like, you know, I like the conservative people that I know are like, oh, biased liberal media and only Fox News is fair and balanced, which is like a hilarious farce. But then on the other side, you turn on any of the other quote unquote mainstream media outlets and it's like also this big ridiculous farce. And like it's like being able to see The Matrix. Having like a background in media studies because like you can see like all of these things happening at once and like kind of see beyond what they're necessarily saying and start thinking about like, okay, but why are they saying it and why are they saying it in that way? And if they said it a slightly different way, would that be a different meaning? And like, what is Fox doing? And, you know, and like now, like we're in a media landscape where Breitbart has a White House correspondent, you know, and is like there in the White House press corps and other, you know, pretty extreme news organizations are gathering traction and have between their deliberate sabotage and just general bumbling by the media in general and also God only knows what the, like, internet trolls are doing to alter the information that we perceive, and also algorithms and, like, what shows up in our Facebook feeds and, like...
And the Russians.
And the Russians, yeah. Who knows? Nobody. Maybe Reply All.
No, don't we know that that's real now?
Yeah.
Like, we know that's real now, right?
We know that it happened. We have a general idea that the scope is pretty extensive, but we don't know exactly what happened, but, like, what happened when, right? Like, what happened during the campaign, what happened during the election, what has happened since?
No, but I just mean even, like the spread of Facebook news. Like,
right.
Didn't somebody say, like, oh, yeah, this one came from Russia, and this one, like can't you actually, yeah. Like, there was a thing and, that came out recently, right?
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of things that have come out recently to the point where, like, you can find two exactly opposing pieces of information to justify whichever viewpoint you have, which is infuriating. And I think we're kind of at this point now where, I don't know where I was going with that thought, but Reply All has done some interesting reporting on this. On the Media has done some interesting reporting on this. There's been, like, a lot of interesting reporting on this, but between, you know, what we don't know and what Facebook keeps private as their, you know, proprietary algorithm, like, we have no idea necessarily. Like, we know something fucked up has transpired and is continuing to transpire, but, like, we don't really know. You know what I mean? And, like, I have the tolerance to, like, live in that kind of gray area, and I think that the vast majority of people don't, and especially if they don't have any sort of background in media studies, like, this is so far beyond most people's ability to understand what's happening. Like, when I hear other people have conversations about, like, the bias of the media, I'm just like, oh, buddy. Like, this is going on, like, so, this is so much more complicated, I think, than anyone really understands. And yeah, than I understand, even. But, like, I understand enough to know that, like, it's really complicated.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about politics.
Oh, no, me neither. I listened to some good audiobooks this year.
Ooh,
I was
going
to say,
they?
I read some good books, but I did not read anything. I listened to them.
Do you only listen to audiobooks?
Pretty much, yeah. If I'm going to, like, quote-unquote read a book, I'm generally listening to it as an audiobook, unless it has lots of pictures, in which case, like, if it's an art book, but I usually only read nonfiction, but I branched out a little bit this year, and actually started 2017 with Octavia Butler's Earthseed series, which was both a great idea and a terrible idea, and it actually segues perfectly from what I was just talking about. So Octavia Butler, she's regarded as the first Black woman who is a sci-fi writer. She's a very good sci-fi writer. I read several of her books this year, but she has these two books. The first one's called The Parable of the Sower, and the second one called The Parable of the Talents, and they're referred to collectively as the Earthseed series. And they are hard to explain, but basically the format that they're written in is like diary entries, and it's the first book is the diary of this young woman who I think it like starts in the year like 2022, but Octavia Butler wrote these in the 80s, and basically she lives in a kind of post-United States situation where, like, the government hasn't necessarily collapsed, but like the rule of law certainly has. And so people are living in these kind of like, they have to like live in these gated communities because people will just like murder you and steal whatever you have because, you know, resources are precious and that sort of thing. And it just prepared me, I feel like, for the years to come in a certain way. I forget where I was going with that train of thought, but they were really interesting and really good, and I recommend that people read them because they're very relevant to the times that we're living in.
Did you listen to audiobooks, though, you said?
Yeah.
Who read them?
That's a good question. Some lady.
Oh. I was curious, because sometimes, like, that's the best part of an audiobook.
Yeah. No, it wasn't, like, a celebrity or anything. Let's see. The Parable of the Sower was read by Lynn Thigpen. And The Parable of the Talents was read by Patricia R. Floyd. I also read or listened to the audiobook of a book called Get Well Soon, History's Greatest Plagues and the Heroes Who Solved Them. And I found that really interesting and really relaxing.
It's a funny thing to find relaxing.
I know. I am weird like that. I really like medical history. That's a large hobby of mine. Infectious disease is like a particular area of interest. Because I just find it so much more, well, and some people might find this not reassuring at all, but that like, oh, we're just getting started, you know? We barely even scratched the surface on the human body and like medicine and that sort of thing.
No, I think that's all super exciting.
Yeah. And not just exciting, but just like as far as like my own mysterious health problems and like how long those took to get diagnosed, it's like, oh, well, I mean, up until like 1940 something, nurses were still kicking rats away under the table for open brain surgery. So, you know, like we've got a long way to go. We've come very far in a short period of time.
We're pretty lucky still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also not, and also we are.
Right.
It's only getting better.
Well,
the smartness of people, not the actual mental killer and the access to it.
I mean,
but
yeah, even that's things debatable. That we're learning. But, you think? Yeah, just because of, you know what? I don't even want to get into it. It's complicated.
Don't do it.
It's
don't
all
do
very
it.
Complicated.
No, okay, don't do it.
I had to stop producing my other podcast in sickness and in health this year because covering anything related to healthcare got a little too stressful for my own health. So we started Wistful Thinking instead, and that has been a highlight of my year.
Well, that's the fifth thing on my list.
Well, how about that?
Yeah, the fifth thing on my list is this podcast, because I never made a podcast before this, except for a guest on other people's podcasts. So this was a new thing that I did last year, and it was cool, and I liked it.
Yeah, it was fun. It's been really nice to reconnect. It's been really nice to have some of my old friends on and make some new friends and watch some things that I maybe would have preferred that we didn't, but it's okay. And it's been great to schedule time where I have to talk to other human beings because
I work
from home.
That's what I really like. Like, not that, like, I talk to a lot of human beings, not that part, but, like, I feel like this kind of, like, idea to sit down and have a conversation about a really specific thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen outside of college. That's the last time I did it.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I really like that. Because, like, there are a lot of times where I'm like, ugh, what am I even going to say about this? Like, how are we going to talk about this? And then we do, anyway.
Yeah.
So I have liked that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to say my honorable mentions.
Okay.
Because that's the last thing on my list.
Cool.
They're all TV shows. They're all TV shows that I watched this year. Ugh, except for one of them, which just came out this year, but I didn't watch it until 2018, so let's pretend. But they are The Good Place.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. That right? was actually, that was like number two on my list. It is.
It's like a golden light in my life. It's just like so refreshing.
It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. And every episode, I'm like, how did I keep doing it? I keep doing it. I know. It's so good.
It's wonderful.
Everything about it.
So this is the Good Place is like maybe the second hardest that I laughed at something this year.
Yeah. It's so excellent.
And it was the episode where they were doing the simulations of the train problem. It just, I couldn't. Yeah, I watched it a lot of times.
Yeah, it's so great. I want them to give Janet her own spinoff.
Maybe they will one day.
I hope so.
The next honorable mention on my list is Rick and Morty, because Rick and Morty was okay. back this year, and that was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I watched it for the first time. I enjoyed it.
I've watched all of them like two or three times. They're always worth. Like I like Rick and Morty because it's a show. I like to have a show that I can just put on. Mm-hmm. If I'm, like, you need something in the background or if I'm, like, grumpy. Like, I like having a nice 20-minute show to put on.
Yeah.
And that's a really good one for that. Because once you've seen them and you kind of know the plot, you don't have to pay too close attention. But I pick up new things every time I watch them. And I like that. It's fun.
Cool.
My next one is, well, Handmaid's Tale, we talked about already, mm-hmm. which I actually forgot about until you said something.
Yeah, well, I tried to put it out of my mind as quickly as possible.
Do you know what? This is, I don't know how to feel about this, but I found out this year that Elizabeth Moss is a Scientologist.
Yeah, she is.
Which I just, like, feel very weird about.
Yeah, but I think she might be a second-generation Scientologist, like Beck.
That's not better.
So it's like... Really? Because I feel like, they grew up with it, you know, like, technically I'm, like, a 100th generation Catholic. I don't believe in that
But
stuff.
You're not actually a Catholic. Like, if I wrote a Wikipedia article about you, it wouldn't be like, Kara's a Catholic.
Yeah, that is true.
So, I think that's actually a little bit why I kind of, like, checked out of the, like, I watched the whole show and I loved it and it was amazing. But, I, like, once I found that out, I, like, checked out of liking that a little bit in my mind.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which I actually don't think it's fair. I don't think, well, I don't know. This is a big question of this year, is, like, how much can you judge something based on the actions of the person who is in it?
Yeah.
And, like, we don't know the answer to that yet.
Right. And also, like, well, I guess there's, like, a certain level of, like, complicity that comes along with being a high-profile member of the Church of Scientology. But, like, it's not like she's the one waterboarding people in some dark room somewhere. You know?
No, sure. Yeah. You know, and, like, I also think, like, there are levels to that kind of thing.
Like, I know. But then also people say that about, like, sexual harassment. And then that's really frustrating.
It's all so gray. And we're all, like, not good at knowing about it yet. Because it's only recently that we've started talking openly about it in this way.
And hopefully we'll be allowed to continue talking about it openly in this way, and something horrible won't happen, which I worry about every single day.
No, too scary. Let's not.
Sorry.
But that actually is a great segue into the last show on my list, which is Black Mirror.
Okay. Haven't watched it. Seems very stressful.
Oh, man. It is very stressful. You actually might not like it. It's so stressful.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, there'll be an episode that's actually not stressful. But because of the tone of the show, you're like, I don't know where this is going. You never know where any of them are going.
Yeah.
Because everyone is so different. And some of them have happy endings and some of them have nothing endings. And some of them are the most depressing thing you ever saw. And you don't know what it's going to be until the last second, a lot of times.
I don't like that.
I love it. I love it. Because I really like watching something I can't predict.
Yeah. Well, that is, I mean, how rare.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So it's so exciting. Mm. It's like maybe the only show I've ever binge watched, like almost the moment it comes out every time.
Okay. It's been on my queue for a very long time, like, but it just, I'm never like, I really want to stress myself out right now.
Well, if you want, I can tell you the ones one day that aren't stressful.
Okay.
I could make a, I bet somebody's made a list of like like most stressful to least stressful Black Mirror episodes.
I'll have to look for that. I think the, well, one thing that we didn't get to on my like main list was the Anne of Green Gables adaptation that came to Netflix this year, mm-hmm. called Anne with an E. It's, you said you never like read the books or watched
no.
the miniseries, so mm-mm. It's a kind of a, I hesitate to use this phrase, but it's true. It's like a gritty reboot of the Anne of Green Gables, which is a series of novels. Well, Anne of Green Gables is a novel, and then I guess, I don't know what the series is called, but there's a series of novels about the character of Anne Shirley, written by L.M. Montgomery. And it's about this orphan in Edwardian Nova Scotia who goes to live with this family and, like, hijinks ensue and that sort of thing. But the book had, like, the books have a lot more darkness in them than the Canadian adaptation that they made in, like, the 80s and 90s. And this adaptation brought like a lot of that back into it and like really just kind of like showed the trauma of this poor girl, but like also like the kind of just effervescent energy and anarchy that she has within her, and it was just, it was so good. And I enjoyed watching it. It was very sad. I cried a lot. But it was also beautiful, and the girl that they cast as Anne was like perfect. So I really enjoyed that a lot.
I know you really wanted to do Anne of Green Gables
on yeah, the podcast. Yeah, we will, but someday.
Maybe we will one day.
Yeah.
I feel like now that we like don't always care about having a guest, we'll get to a lot more things this year that we've been talking about getting
yeah.
to.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Because we don't have to wait for someone to pick them or, like, trick someone into picking them anymore. Yeah.
Then my honorable mentions, season 2 of The Crown just came out. And I've really, although all of my ancestors are probably spinning in their graves, have really enjoyed that whole series. And I find myself kind of like continuously surprised by the amount of sympathy it manages to make me have for the Queen of England. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting, and it's, you know, it's a beautiful period drama, and you kind of get to see her inner life a little bit, which I just find endlessly fascinating.
It is,
and
yeah.
Such like a sad and lonely existence. Although I have to say, season 2, not nearly enough dogs. It was a huge letdown, because I think in season 1 they're like following her around everywhere, which apparently they do in real life too. She has like this little fleet of corgis that just follows her everywhere. There just were not enough dogs in season 2.
That was another show that I started and then just like got to the middle and was like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, like, slow and boring, but I enjoyed it. The Great British Baking Show, also. I mean, talk about something that I want to watch when I'm grumpy, because it is just a true, true delight. I can't watch American cooking shows. I find them entirely too stressful. You know, like, everyone is like, I'm not here to make friends, and, like, the music is really intense, and, like, it's just, ugh, I don't like it. But on the Great British Baking Show, the music is not intense. It's just pleasant. Everyone seems to really like each other, and they all hug at the end of every episode. And the judges, even when they're, like, giving negative feedback, they do it in, like, a really, like, sweet and kind way, which I like. And, like, the baking that they do on the show. So, like, the people that are on the show are home bakers, so they're not professional bakers. They're just like people who are really good at baking things at home. So like you get an interesting mix of like backgrounds. You have like the engineers always do really well because they're able to like engineer these like amazing things that they bake. And then like other creative people or just like grandmas or, you know, teenagers. And it's just, it's so great. And the baking that they do is at this level that's like not, it's like just whimsical enough that you don't, that you're like, I could do that if I wanted to, but like, not so much so that you're like, ooh, I feel like I want to bake something. So you just sit there and you watch the show instead of actually baking, which I think is great. And it's set on this like really beautiful estate that like changes over the course of the season. Like you see the all the flowers and stuff changing in the background. And I just find it to be a true delight. I highly recommend it to everyone. I love it. It's technically not a new thing in 2017, but I discovered it in 2017, so.
Did they change hosts in 2017?
Yes. However, after that news broke, there was still another new season that they added to Netflix after that. So I thought that it was all over with the original cast, and it turned out that there was a bonus season, which was...
Well, they added Noel Fielding to it.
Yeah, which will be interesting. I haven't seen it.
Because I like him so much.
I do too. So as much as I like really love the old cast, like, you know, I'm keeping an open mind about it. So the cast being the two comedians that host it, which is are like a lady comedy duo whose names I cannot remember, but they are a delight. And then the two judges, which is Mary Berry, who, from what I gather, is like the Martha Stewart of Britain. I don't know if that's the correct comparison, but that's kind of what I understand. And some guy named Paul Hollywood, who I don't know what his background is. Apparently his dad was a baker. Ah, who knows? But Mary Berry is fantastic. And she's not coming back either. Just Paul Hollywood is. And I think they recast somebody in her place. So we'll see.
I just, like, it's bad. Or, like, I don't know. I'm not being a jerk. But, it, like, that kind of show is the kind of thing that I, like, just can't. I don't care about anymore. I just
yeah,
can't.
That's fine.
I, like, it just feels like such an oversaturation of things that, like, at a certain point, like, sometime during this year, I was just like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care about any of this.
Yeah, that's fair. I just, part of my media diet.
I care about your opinions and what you like.
Yeah,
but
that's fair. Part of my media diet is just, like, having the TV on a lot, so.
Yeah, I got out of that habit. Like, yeah. I also used to be that way, and I'm not anymore.
That's good. You're, like, actually living a life, I assume?
I'm trying to. I'm really trying to most of the time. It was a hard transition.
Yeah. What do you do with all that time?
I mean, mostly circus. It's like when you have like an all-encompassing hobby slash you're trying to get really good at something, like it's easy to be like, oh, well, like you just plan everything around it.
Yeah.
For the most part. Not everything, but yeah. And, like, that won't be that way forever either, but it's, like, I have the privilege to be able to do that right now.
Yeah, so you might as well.
And also, like, am in a situation in my life where, like, I live with and work with some people who I really like to spend time with. So, like, I tend to do that. You know, actually, I think that has something to do with, like, my move also. Because, like, I found, like, in New York... or New Jersey, like, in that area, like, everybody, not everybody, but the type of person that I hung out with was, like, very, very, very media and pop culture, like, obsessed. Mm. Like, that's the thing you talk about and, like, are smart at. And I don't know a lot of people like that here. So I think I kind of had to change also to, like, relate to other people better in some ways.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. That kind of thing, or, like, that kind of knowledge just, like, doesn't hold the same weight with a lot of the people that I've met in the last few years. Like, not that people aren't interested in it. They are. But not, like, people were in New York.
Right. You just have other things to talk about.
Yeah.
That's cool.
This is stupid, but we play games. I played Twister at my house last night.
Wild. That is like, totally wild.
It's so stupid, but like literally that's what we did instead of watching TV.
Aw, you're like a wholesome sitcom family.
Do you have anything else from your list that you feel really excited about?
There's still so many more things.
My list is over.
Okay.
Pick like one more that you're like, I must say this.
I mean, BoJack Horseman's always really good. And I think this was their best season yet. So,
BoJack Horseman. I didn't watch it. I haven't watched since the second season.
Oh, it got better, I think. Because it got less about BoJack.
I mean, I liked the first two. I didn't, like, on purpose stopped watching it. It was just one of those things where I was like, I don't watch that much stuff anymore, so I don't watch this.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. This season, it was really interesting. They did some really interesting things that you don't see on TV a lot. You definitely don't see in cartoons. I also got really into Steven Universe this year. Great cartoon. And, I'll leave it there. Two cartoons. Which, surprisingly, I didn't talk about more cartoons. I watch a lot of cartoons, so.
All right, we did it. We made it through our lists. Well, we didn't make it through your lists, but your lists are very long.
Good enough. Yeah. No, that's good enough. So, is there anything in 2018 that you're looking forward to?
It's a good question. I don't think that there is. I feel like, well, because I've mostly stopped like reading about like things that are coming up, movies, TV, whatever. Yeah. Like I'll hear about it right before it happens, usually, and then I'll be like, "Oh, cool! Like I want to see that. Or I don't want to see that." I also still get screeners. From one of my old jobs. I'm still in the Writers Guild from an old job I had. I think they're going to kick me out next year. Because I obviously don't write anything. But, so I still get screeners. So, like, for movies in general, I tend to check out because I get a lot of them sent to me at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And I live in the middle of nowhere, so it's, like, a lot of work to, like, go out of my way to see a movie. Because I have to go pretty far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I think that maybe a lot of things in my life might change this year, but I don't know what they are, and so I'm excited about that. And like, a lot of things in the world might change this year.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And that will affect all the things. It will just affect all the things. It just will.
Yeah, well, I think you're leaning your media diet is a good preparation for the end of net neutrality. Because I think about that a lot. Like, I spend a lot of time just browsing on Instagram because I'm like, I have to get all these images into my brain before, like, you know, I like, don't have access to them anymore. I think about how, you know, even if the internet remains the way it is or whatever, you know, obviously things change and like Instagram won't always be the way that it is right now where I get to spend hours just looking at pretty flowers or art by like amazing artists all over the world, you know? So, and I just think about, you know, people who lived in the past or like people who don't have access to the internet or accessible materials in any way, just like what a privilege it is to be able to consume so many images. I mean, like speaking as a visual artist, you know, I don't have to put on pants and go to a museum. I can just like launch the browse tab of Instagram at any given time and see like incredible work from people all around the world, like
that
from
really
all
cool.
sorts of backgrounds. And having spent more time this year working on art and looking at art and working with flowers and looking at flowers, it's just, that's been something that I've been cherishing, because I know that it's like not always going to be a thing that I have the luxury to do. Or like, even if it is still there, will I always have time to do this? And the answer is probably no. Mm-hmm. Just like you were saying about like being in a specific situation where you get to do circus things all the time, you might as well.
Yeah. Because there will be other times when I can't. And
right.
Then I would be like, oh, I used to have all this time. What was I doing with it?
Yeah.
There's going to be plenty of time to watch stuff later.
Yeah, hopefully. I did buy a bunch of plants the other day, some house plants, as a declaration that I intend to stay alive at least through the end of 2018.
Great.
Which, yeah, I mean, I, like, having struggled with my health pretty significantly in recent years, like, the being able to say, like, and, like, who knows, I could get hit by a truck tomorrow. That's not what I'm talking about. But, like, it's been really hard to plan anything in the future because I'm like, well, first of all, I'm not sure I'm going to be alive. And second of all, like, if I am alive, I'm not sure, like, what my level of mobility or ability in any direction will be. So 2017 was thankfully like the most stable year that I've had in probably a decade with my health. Actually 2017 was the most stable year I've had in a decade with my health. Like, not maybe, that's a definite statement.
Was that by luck
or yeah.
by something else?
No, who knows. It's, that's what's so frustrating, is that like I don't know, and I don't know why, because if there was a reason, I'd be like, oh, I just have to keep doing that, and I'll be fine.
You'd be like, oh, I found the answer.
Yeah, I think it's, like, a combination of things. Like, I am, like, I took a few years off of work because I was unable to work, so I, like, was able to recover in some way. I don't even know if that's really the right word. I had a cardiac procedure a few years ago that went awry. So, like, I think there's been enough time now that, like, my heart has healed and, like, my nervous system has healed to a certain extent from that. The fact that I, like, don't go out a lot helps, because I'm, like, not getting exposed to other people's germs. Because, like, when I get regular people sick, it makes, it's, like, really hard for me to recover from. So, like, I haven't had to deal with that in a while. You know, my immune system stuff is, like, under control. It's, like, all of these, like, weird, it's a bunch of spinning plates, and I don't know at what point all of those plates are going to come crashing down. Inevitably, they will, because that's just the way that life works, and that's, I figured out the way that my body works, and that's okay. I've accepted that. So I'm just trying to ride this wave for as long as possible. And I feel like confident enough in, oh, I should knock on wood or something. Now that I'm actually saying this out loud, I'm like, oh, but what if I'm not?
I'll knock. I have wood too. I'll knock on it.
Like, I feel like I can plan to still be here this time next year. So that might not sound like a lot to most people, especially not most people my age. I think that's, like, a given, an assumption, that, like, people don't even think about. But after the decade that I've had, that feels like a really momentous occasion.
That is.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, you just said you had the best year health-wise ever. That's, like,
well, at least in a decade.
Yeah, yeah. That's, like, a big deal. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Maybe the universe was like, look, everything else is really hard. We know you can't take this. We'll give you this.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. And also the fact that I, like, after a certain number of times on the merry-go-round of, like, oh, are they going to repeal Obamacare or what? We don't know. Oh, no, they're going to do it. No, they're not. I think I in May, I was like, you know what? I can't. I got to get off this merry-go-round because I'm going to kill myself if I stay on it. So, not trying not to be as, like, plugged into that. And that was helpful, I guess. Yeah.
I guess, okay. Well, that is one thing I'm looking forward to this year, too, is I got my shoulder fixed last year.
Yeah.
And so I have a working shoulder for the first time in like over 3 years, probably 4 years.
Wow, that's exciting.
That's like a big, like, I didn't even know how bad it was until it wasn't bad anymore.
Yeah, I have been there.
You get used to it.
And you're like, holy shit, I can't believe I was living like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing what you can get used to. Yeah.
It's, yeah, so not as cool or momentous as yours.
No, but that's a big deal. I mean, especially as an athlete, that's like a really super big deal.
Yeah, so like I'm going to use the shit out of my shoulder this year.
But not too much. You don't want to re-injure yourself.
Not too much. Just like the right amount.
I think
that's it. That's my whole plan.
Yeah. So we got stay alive. use the shit out of your shoulder, which I think can be distilled ultimately. And like, do the shit you want to do. Because who knows what's going to happen.
Do the shit that you can do while you can do it.
Exactly.
Like right now.
now. Because people spend their whole lives thinking about doing shit and never actually doing it. So you might as well, if you're able to do something, go fucking do it. Because when you're not able to do it, you're going to be like, why didn't I do that thing? Or you'll be dead and you won't be thinking anything. So,
and then you didn't do it for sure. So
definitely will not do it. That's a cheerful New Year's greeting, right? Sign off?
I think it is.
Yeah. Go do your things.
And bye.
Okay, bye.